We're turning this morning to Ephesians 6, and I'm reading verse 14. We're moving now to look at each of the individual pieces of our Christian armor. So we start this morning with Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place. May God bless the hearing and reading of His Word. Paul will now begin to enumerate and to describe to us our spiritual army. And the order in which we will look at this army or this equipment is the same order in which the Roman soldiers would have put it on. And so the first equipment to be put on and tightened would be this belt, this girdle of truth. This belt of truth is something that's foundational. It's foundational in the sense that other things rest upon it. When I think of the equivalent today, when I think of something that's comparable, think first of all of a carpenter's belt. Think of all the things that may be hung or rested in a carpenter's belt. There may be a hammer, there may be nails, there may be a tape measure. Who knows what else may be resting on that carpenter's belt? Or we could move to an army belt. And that army belt may hold shells. There may be a gun holster connected to it. There may be a canteen hanging on it. And so you get the picture, don't you? You get the picture that this belt is not simply a fashion statement. But this belt is the first piece that goes on. Later we'll talk about the sword, but we can't talk about the sword until we talk about the belt, because the sword hangs from the belt. Later in this verse, we'll talk about the breastplate that covers us in our vulnerable areas. But I can't talk about the breastplate until I talk about the belt, because the breastplate actually rests, the bottom tip of it rests on this belt. And so I want us to understand that this belt is not simply for fashion, but it serves for function. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament, and I'm interested in whether you remember that Jeremiah was once instructed to take a linen belt and wear it. After he had wore it, and maybe he was very happy with it, maybe he was very pleased with its design, he was told to take it off and to hide that linen belt in the crevice of the rocks. Well, many days passed by, and later he went to retrieve that belt. And when he went to get it, you remember, if you remember that the story, that the belt was ruined and wasted. And it was useless. God then spoke to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, these wicked people who refuse to listen to my word, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, they will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound around a man's waist, so I bind the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, to be my people for my renown and my praise and honor. But they have not listened. And so here's the analogy of a belt that is ruined, a belt that is wasted, a belt that does not function properly. I've seen some little stretchy belts. You put them on and they don't provide any support at all. They're just strictly for looks. But you realize that this is a functional type belt. And what this is saying to us is that our life must have stability. There must be a foundation. We have to have a clear understanding of the truth. Our life has to be built on that truth. Jesus talked about people who built on a rock and others who built on sand. You know, a belt that is too big or too stretchy, that doesn't provide any support, is like a rope of sand. It doesn't serve any useful purpose. Well, what is this belt? Well, this belt is God's word. It is truth. But it is truth appropriated to our own lives. It is not simply that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's not enough that you have a Bible that adorns your coffee table. It's not enough that you have inherited your grandmother's family Bible. It's that that Word of God must be the belt that goes around our whole life. Jesus, referring to the Word of God, said, "Your Word is truth." God's Word is foundational. And before we can build, before we can have the rest of our armor, we must be people of the Word of God. And so read God's Word to be wise. Follow it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. We need to read God's Word daily. We need to meditate on it day and night. But realize this is not simply for academic pursuit. This is not for the sake of argument, but it is for the sake of making sure that our whole life is surrounded and encased with God's Word. Now, let me carry this a step further now. What I'm saying is this belt needs to be tightened. If a Roman soldier was going off duty, one of the first things he would do would be to slacken his belt. And sometimes, at least us men, have been to maybe William's cookout, and we've eaten a little too much. And so, you know, I say to one of my colleagues, I say, I've eaten a little too much. Well, what am I going to do next? If I'm just a little bit miserable because I'm overeating, I'll loosen my belt up, won't I? That's what we do. We slacken the belt. But this whole analogy is that we are not at ease. We are at war. We're not to be relaxed, but we're to be on guard. And so to tighten our belt is an analogy that means I am to be disciplined. I am to be bound by the truth. We live in an age in which everyone wants to loosen their belts and not to tighten them. But sometimes if we're working with a budget and we've got too much month at the end of the money, I don't know if you know that experience or not, but we, in a figure of speech, in a manner of speaking, what we would say is, you know, we're going to have to tighten our belts. We all know what that means. And sometimes a politician will even say to his constituency, the only way we can solve this problem is to tighten our belts. And so we all know that to tighten our belt is a figure of speech. That means sacrifice. It means self-denial. It means that I am not going to do everything I want to do. I'm not making decisions based on my pleasure, but I'm doing my duty. I'm doing what has to be done. We all have had to take belt-tightening measures. Our government needs to tighten its belt, doesn't it? It's spending too much money, spending too much of our money. So you get the picture. But let me go back in history. Let me draw you another picture. The year was 1521. Martin Luther was summoned to the Diet of Worms. This was a town. Worms was a town in Germany. And this was a church assembly that was convened. And when he walked in, all the Roman Catholic authorities had accumulated all of Luther's writings, and they were all stacked up on a desk. Luther was asked to come before the highest levels of Roman Catholic authority and was asked, "Did you write these?" And he had to confess, "Yes, I have written these." Well, then he was commanded to recant what he had written. Well, he said, "Let me pray about it." I think they were aggravated. I think they were frustrated with the delay, but being an ecclesiastical body, they could hardly refuse to allow a man to pray, and so they reconvened the next day after Luther had had time to pray, and it must have been a restless night. It must have been one of those nights when he knew what they were expecting him to say, but the more he talked to his Almighty God, the more he realized what he would have to say. And so they reconvened the trial the very next day, and they're frustrated with the delay, but they again require, "What will you say, Martin Luther?" And here is his famous reply that has reverberated down through the corridors of history. He said, "I stand convinced by the Scriptures to which I have appealed. And my conscience is taken captive by God's word. See, that's the belt, isn't it? See, that's the picture of the belt that we... I'm not through quoting Luther, but I just want to stop and preach a minute before I finish Luther. That is what it means to be bound by the belt of truth. That belt of truth will sometimes become inconvenient. It won't be that comfortable in some situations. Luther said, my conscience is captive by the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. For to act against our conscience is neither safe for us nor open to us. On this I take my stand, I can do no other. Now, let me just say, by using the analogy, Luther's belt was pretty uncomfortable at that moment. But he said, I'm bound by this belt of truth. He said, I cannot call good evil, and I cannot call evil good. I cannot back up. I am bound by the Word of God. And I'm saying that as disciples of Jesus, we have to put on our belt until it binds us, and at some point, in some situations, it will become uncomfortable, but it will be there to restrain us. There will be times when we feel pressure to conform, to go along with the program. There are times when everyone else is loosening their belt, and we are expected to follow suit. But there are some times when we cannot go against our own conscience. We find ourselves in an awkward situation, and we have to tighten our belt, and we have to stand for what is right. Now, I know this all sounds very unpopular, but let me go on to say that a tightened belt actually produces freedom. It actually produces liberty. And you may say, well, that seems like a contradiction. Well, it's only a seeming contradiction. In this spiritual battle, it is necessary to tighten your belt in order to be freed. God is not trying to make us miserable. God is trying to make us useful. Now, let me just describe it to you like this. In the first century, in Paul's day, when he's writing this matter of being girded with this belt of truth, men did not wear business suits. They didn't wear long trousers like we wear. But in those days, they wore long robes or they wore some kind of a garment that is a tunic. I'm not into fashion too much. I can't explain all of those things. But I do know that in those days, that what they would wear would hang down very loosely. Now, that may be comfortable in the desert climate, to have a loose-fitting garment. But it is not very practical if you're going to engage in wrestling or in hand-to-hand combat. I don't know how to explain it other than to say, men, how would you like to wrestle in a house coat? Well, you say, I can't do it with this. And so Paul is saying the first thing you need to do to prepare for battle is to take your jacket off. You need to loosen your tie, you need to roll up your sleeves, and you need to tighten your belt. See, when a soldier was off duty, he could loosen his belt, but when he was preparing for battle, he would tighten his belt. That would pick up the slack in his robe. If his robe was hanging down long and he was going to have to run, he would pick that up. He wasn't worried about modesty. He was going to fight. Somebody was going to live and somebody was going to die, and so he would pick up that garment and tuck it in his belt. And the belt would free him up. So then nothing was going to encumber him. Nothing was going to get in his way. So I think you get the picture that Jesus is saying in our life, there are so many distractions. There are so many encumbrances. There are so many things that can hem us up or tie us up or tangle us up. And Jesus says, you need to gather your garment up and get it where it's not going to get in your way. That's what Jesus meant when he told his disciples in Luke 12:35, let your loins be girded about and let your lamps burn like men waiting for their master. These are disciples. They're waiting for the master to come. And so they are not at ease. They are at attention and their loins are girded up. That means they're ready to run, they're ready to fight, they're ready to stand their ground and not get hung up in all of this fabric. It's interesting, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Peter says the same thing, but using a different analogy. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. What does Peter mean when he says, gird up the loins of your mind? Well, he's picking up on this picture of a soldier who does not want to be encumbered with all of this stuff, all these flowing garments that were going to be in his way. How do you gird up the loins of your mind? Well, I know from experience that if you just let your mind wander, if you just let your mind drift, it's not long until your mind begins to drift into forbidden territory. And every once in a while, have you ever had this experience? Your mind needs to be on a leash. You need to be able to pull it back. Say, I'm not going to go there. It's kind of like walking a dog. You put the dog on a leash, and if the dog starts getting too far out into left field, if it starts drifting too far away, you begin to pull on that leash. Well, see, here's this picture of my mind being held captive by the Word of God. I can't let my mind go there. I can't think about certain things. I can't read and witness certain things. I can't talk about some things. I've got to pull my mind back. So what this means is, you and I, if we're going to win this spiritual battle, we have to have a tight rein on our minds. All of this is a figurative way of saying, I've got to exercise self-discipline. Now, the world all around us, the whole culture of our society, says at ease. But see, we're not on vacation, we're in a war. And so Paul is saying, attention. And attention means we need to pull everything up. We need to cinch everything. We need to be ready to move unrestricted. You know, I'm trying to work with this word picture. And our culture basically says, let it all hang out. And this is the generation of sloppiness. This is a generation of droopy drawers, isn't it? And you see some people, and you just want to say to them, pull your britches up and tighten your belt. You get the picture? Maybe to all too well. But see, that's what Paul is playing on. This is no time for us just to let it all hang. Just let whatever it's going to be will be. What Paul is saying is, get it together, pull it up, tighten it up. We've got to go into battle. Now, my whole argument is, that frees us. That frees us for combat. I don't see how some boys can even walk, much less run, with their britches hanging halfway down. And, you know, if you're going to do anything serious at all, you're going to have to pull them up. And so this is the picture that the truth frees us. Freedom is not the freedom to do anything we want to do, but spiritually, freedom is the freedom to do what we ought to do. Truth makes demands on us. You say, well, if I have to do what God wants me to do, I'm not free. Well, let's talk about it in another sense. You don't have to wear a seatbelt either. But you get in a wreck, and I come and see you, and you're in a body cast from head to toe. Were you more free not wearing the seatbelt, or were you more free under the body cast? See, the whole reason to wear the seatbelt was not to be bound by the body cast. Does that make any sense at all? See, this is the freedom that Jesus wants us to have. If you follow Jesus, there's some things you can't do. And the world says, that's awful, that's abusive, that's terrible. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever floats my boat. All right, but after you're addicted to drugs, after you've developed bad habits, after you've lost your health, after your wages are garnished for alimony and child support, let's talk some more about how free you are. See, if you would have bound yourself by the principles of Jesus, then you would be free from all of that bondage. You know, imagine the spendthrift who says, I refuse to be restricted by a budget. If I see something I want, I'm going to charge it. Imagine the diabetic who says, I refuse to be restricted by a diet. If I see something I like, I'm going to eat it. Are those people really free? Short term, yes. Long term, no. See, that's the picture. That in every area of our life, we have to tighten our belt financially. We have to tighten our belt as far as diet. We have to tighten our belt morally and spiritually. And to be followers of Jesus, I'm back now to Isaiah 11, verse 5. Jesus was bound by this belt of righteousness and faithfulness. Jesus didn't come to earth to do anything he wanted to do. Jesus had to be righteous. He had to be faithful. You see, that's what made him who he was. And so, in a similar way, if we're his followers, we can't just do whatever pops in our head. We can't just follow any impulse. But we need to be bound by the teachings of Jesus. Now, as I bring this to a close, I think the big picture I'm trying to say is everything in our culture says, take it easy. You deserve a break today. Just kick back. Relax. Let it all hang out. But we're really not on vacation, we're in a battle. And so the scripture says, tighten your belt. See, what's going to happen is that one of the ways the devil attacks us is that we become so distracted by all of the problems of life that we can't focus on anything. That's where that expression comes from. You all know the expression, when it rains, it pours. Well, that's not a weather forecast. That is a statement that when trouble comes, when the devil sends trouble into our life, he usually sends it in the form of a cluster bomb, doesn't he? It just goes off in every direction. You don't just have one problem, you have three or four at the same time. And so we become so distracted that we're paralyzed. Have you ever been so tired, so discouraged, so many problems, you didn't know which end to pick up first? Then I want to tell you about the lion trainer. I don't claim to be an expert in training lions, but I had heard this and I went and Googled it. You could Google it for yourself and form your own opinion, but one of the most important pieces of equipment in training lions, I am told, I haven't tried it, but I am told that one of the most important pieces of equipment is that four-legged stool. And the lion trainer will take that four-legged stool and hold it up right in the lion's face. And the lion, apparently a fairly simplistic animal as far as logic and power of reason, even though he's very, very strong, the lion is so distracted by those four different points that the lion doesn't know which leg to go after. See, if he just put one thing in front of him, the lion would tear it apart, wouldn't he? But the lion trainer throws four things at him at the same time. And the lion, in trying to make its mind up, will I go after this leg or this leg? Will I tear this leg off? The lion has the power to do that. But the lion becomes paralyzed by the lion tamer because he'll thrust four things at him at the same time. Well, as a matter of disclaimer, don't go try it. But you might ask a lion trainer and find out if there's any validity to that, but I do know there's a devil that does that very same thing, doesn't he? He doesn't just throw one thing at us, he throws a half a dozen at once, and we don't know which way to go. We don't know which one to attack. And so, that brings me back to what Peter said. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Peter could say, pull it together. See, that's the picture. You just say, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm paralyzed. You know, every week I have to just get alone with God, with my Bible, and with my notepad, and with my calendar, and I need to start deciding what my priorities are going to be for the next week. I have to do that every week, and in a sense, what I'm doing is I'm tightening my belt. I could go here, but if I go here, I can't go here. If I do this, I won't have enough money to do that. And so I have to begin to pray and focus. See, we need to simplify our lives as much as possible. Now you may say that's a luxury, that's not practical with my life. But it's the devil's business to get us so caught up in busyness that we don't know what to do next. I'll just talk to myself. I don't know what your schedule's not like for the next week, so I'll just give myself a talking to. But I have more invitations than I can accept. I have more options than I can cover. And so I have to just get to the point where I say, Lord, where do I need to be? I am accountable to other men. I answer to general superintendent, and I have had to say to him this year, I've got invitations to go to Korea. I've got invitations to go to Africa. I've got invitations to go to the Philippines. Where do you want me to go? I can't go. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources to go to all those places. Where do I need to go? You say, well, why don't you just do whatever you want to do? No, a soldier doesn't live like that. A soldier goes where he's sent. I went where I was sent. Simple as that. I went to Dr. Hux recently and said, do I need to be at this function? Doesn't make me any difference. I'd be happy to go. I'd be just as happy if I can stay home. If you know me, maybe even a little happier if I could just stay home. But I'm a soldier. So I go to my commanding officer and I say, do I need to go? If I can get somebody else to go, I'll send them. I'd just as soon stay home. But you see, sometimes we've got to sort this whole thing out. Somebody wrote this statement referring to Paul's, one of Paul's phrases. In Paul's writings, he says, this one thing I do. You know, if you've only got one thing to do, you pretty well figured out what your priority is, don't you? Problem is, every one of us have six different things to do. And it becomes a little harder. But Paul said, this one thing I do. And the person piggybacked on that and said, Paul said this one thing I do, not these many things I dabble in. Sometimes the reason we don't do a good job at anything is we're trying to do too many different things. And when I say that, I want you to see that little stool with the four legs coming at you. You don't know which one to attack, so you try to attack all four, and you make a mess of all four. See, if you just have one thing to go after, you can go after it. But the problem is, as adults, sometimes we have too many options. I have to remind myself of this. I'm not trying to work my way up any ladder of promotion. I'm not running for any office. I don't need to look for something else. I don't need to simply show my face. I'm not running for office. I don't have to be the president of anything. I'm just trying to do what God wants me to do. And so every week, almost every day, but sometimes it builds up, and sometimes after a few days I kind of get frustrated and I'm distracted and I'm not sure where I need to be putting my time and energy, and I just have to come back and tighten my belt up and say, I believe I need to be here. That means I have to tighten my belt. I can't go there. I'm going to invest my money here, that means I can't buy that. And I'm saying that not because I'm unusual, but because I know myself better than I know you. But I have a feeling that every one of you have to make those same decisions. And so, see, that's what it means. That's how we get hamstrung. That's why, well, we use a lot of words. We talk about being hogtied. We talk about being hamstrung. We talk about being distracted, all wrapped up, all caught up. And see, that's the picture of this soldier who was caught unprepared. The soldier jumps him unexpectedly, and here he is in these long flowing robes, and he's got all this stuff. He's with one hand, he's trying to fight the enemy, and with the other hand, he's trying to pull that floppy breeching leg out of his way so he won't trip over it. See, that's how the devil trips us up. I just have enough confidence in you that I don't think any of you are going to get arrested for robbing a bank this week. I don't think that's what's going to trip us up. What will trip us up is just too many things in the way. Too many things floppy. Too many things to trip over. But the good news is we've got time right now to prepare. And so what Paul's saying is tighten your belt up. Get ready for battle. Pull your breeches up. Roll your sleeves up. Do what, all of those are figures of speech. But we use that in our vocabulary. We say, well, I'm going to roll my sleeves up and get to work. Well, what does rolling your sleeves have to do with work? It means getting it out of the way. Getting anything out of your way that's going to encumber you. And so this is how we do spiritual battle. The first thing we need to do is get all this extraneous stuff out of the way. You know, if I'm going to do battle, the first thing I'm going to do is shed this coat. And just about with the next move, I'm going to get rid of this tie. I'm going to get rid of this unnecessary stuff. Well, what I'm saying to you is, every now and then you've got to sit down and think about what is necessary and what is unnecessary. And sometimes it's the unnecessary stuff that trips us up, wears us out, depletes our resources until we haven't got time to do that that really matters. I'm hurrying to a close, but I've heard an expression. As a boy, when I heard it, it didn't make a lot of sense. Let's see if it makes any sense to you. Have you ever heard this statement, the good is the enemy of the best? The good is the enemy of the best. See, you can be wrapped up, tied up, distracted, by doing good things. I mean, there's some things that are bad. That's what I meant when I talked about bank robbing a while ago. There's some things that you just don't do. That's not where our problem is. Our problem is doing good things. But we're trying to do so many good things that we don't do a very good job at any of them. We're hung up. We're distracted. And so let me just encourage you to somehow in your own way do what I'm suggesting that I have to do on a regular basis. Simplify our life. What is life all about? Life is to serve God, to love our family, and to do what Scripture admonishes us to do. But we add in so many other things. And before long we get distracted. Before long we're chasing our tail. Before long we're going in circles. And we've forgotten what is most important. Everything you're doing is good. Everything you're doing is legitimate. What you say, Pastor, it's not a sin to go here. It's not a sin to do that. We're not talking about sin. We're just talking about distractions. And so may the Lord help us. We need to tighten our belt. And I hope by now you understand that by tightening your belt, you're actually freeing yourself up. Jesus doesn't want you to be in a straitjacket. Jesus wants you to be free. But we put ourselves in a straitjacket by trying to do too many things. And so let's just stand and let's just ask the Lord to help us. Take a quick inventory. What are you going to do the rest of the day? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do the rest of the week? You know, there may be something come up that's not on our list. It's not on our radar. Lord, help us to be prepared. Heavenly Father, as we look at our schedule, as we look at our date book, as we look at our calendar, as we look at all the places we need to go, all the things we need to do, help us to remember that we always have time to do what is the most important thing if we put it first. We must put you first. We must take time to be quiet before you. That's why the Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Lord, help us to tighten our belts up. Not that we live in misery, but quite the contrary. Help us to understand that tightening our belt means that I'm freed up from all of these things that would trip me up or bind me. Lord, I believe that you give us the resources to do what you've called us to do. But we get into trouble when we overextend ourselves and try to do what everyone else wants us to do. Try to please everyone else, meet everyone else's expectations. And then, out of nowhere, the devil jumps us. We're too tired. We're not prepared to fight back. Lord, help us to make time for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.